Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leader Series show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion from her book today, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. It's great to be here.
I love this book, Teach Your Team to Fish. It is one of my favorite books, I think, that you've written. I just love it. It is packed full of stuff to do with teams. And this segment today is a powerful one. In particular, I think for women in leadership, women in management, women pastors, any kind of women leader. You really start pointing out some things about how women kind of take a back seat sometimes to for whatever reasons. I'm sure you'll enlighten us today on the show. But talk to us about this this chapter in the release section. No, we're in transformation. On he rewarded assertiveness. How did the Omega Leader, Jesus, reward assertiveness?
Well, it's interesting to me that many people interpret Christianity as being a doormat, and I think they confuse surrender with complacency or, you know, dry noodleship or wet noodleship. I keep thinking of the Gary Larson cartoon with the boneless chickens on the boneless chicken ranch, and they're all just kind of flopping around. And I've met so many people who are supposedly waiting on the Lord, or, you know, they'll know it when they see it, and they're just kind of drifting it downstream, and even a dead fish can drift downstream. So this chapter is about asking assertively with confidence, and I think it's wise to define assertiveness. It means to put oneself forward boldly or forcefully. And there's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. You know, being aggressive means you're hostile and you're feeling threatened. Being assertive means you have an intent to get something done. And in Scripture, the word ask appears more than 300 times, ask in its derivative. And so as I was contemplating this chapter and thinking about women, you know, Paul wrongly wanted women to be quiet. And that was a cultural thing that was pervasive at the time. But Jesus rewarded women who spoke up. His mother is the one who had him do the first miracle, not his father. And the woman who reached out and touched him, even though she was bleeding, which was a huge taboo, he rewarded her assertiveness. And there was a woman who needed something from a lazy judge, and Jesus rewarded her, talked about, gave an example of her. So he was constantly saying, ask, ask, ask. Mm-hmm. He wanted us to step forward and be co-creative with him in this process. So just to sit back and let things happen, and even when you know something is not going the right direction, you know, the sin of omission is something that's not as measurable as the sin of commission. But it's, I think it's equally dangerous to society and to a team.
Interesting. I want to go back to a point that you made about Paul. I was with a group of really smart theologians a few weeks ago, and this question came up about Paul in leadership, in women in leadership. And one of the things that they said was, it's possible, and probably more probable than possible, that that particular piece in Paul's writings about women keeping silent in the church was added by someone else.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
You know,
right.
And all these years, I've kind of attributed that to Paul. But in some ways, you know, I think Paul supported women as well, did he not? Not that I want to make this conversation about Paul, but it just kind of stuck out there for a second as you were talking about it. And I think as women, we tend, especially in the church, we tend to take a back seat, you know, in leadership or even in eldership.
We're put in the back seat. Sit in the back.
Yes, in many churches, as in Beth Moore's case, you know, They would never allow Beth Moore to preach in a Baptist church or in the Southern Baptist denomination when she could probably out-preach all the men.
Combined.
And so, you know, this place of this definition of assertiveness compared to humility, is there a contrast there? Are we talking the same kind of contrast?
Well, I think going back to the elements, the fires are naturally going to be assertive. The winds are going to be naturally assertive. The waters and earths are going to be less so, given their personality mm-hmm. traits, to sit back and settle, seek the lowest common denominator, seek the lowest point. So it's going to be very easy for the winds and fires to be assertive and much more challenging for the earths and waters to be assertive. And yet we need their skill level and their perspective
right.
desperately.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the key points that I make or want to make in the training around the elements is, if nothing else, get that you need to draw forth from the waters and the earths on their team. What are they seeing? What
mm-hmm.
are they not saying that needs to be said? So we had the services for my mom recently, and you were there. And, you know, they invited people to come up and say things about mom. And several people popped up and said some beautiful things and some funny things. And after we were leaving, you said, I noticed all the winds popped up to say stuff.
Exactly.
And the waters were in the back crying.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just natural for the winds and fires to assert what they want. And they act as if it's natural for you to want to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to ask with confidence and with Jesus said, ask with confidence. Expect this to happen. Don't say, I'm sorry to disturb you, but could you please raise this little girl from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't do that. He was thankful and he was forceful and he was sure of the result. And that's what we really need to see.
And that's hard to teach. I think it's hard to model sometimes because let's say you're a leader and you have some form of assertiveness where you're asking, you know, in confidence that this is going to happen, and say it doesn't happen, you know, so as a leader, you know, and a model, people are saying, you know, what happened? You asked in confidence, you know, but why didn't this happen? Why didn't we see the result? Or, you know, sometimes the CEO is very confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the president of an organization or a principal or superintendent is very confident, or a campaign advisor is very confident and assertive, but sometimes it's not always the right answer or the right direction. So as leaders, how do we do that? Is it elemental? Are we missing assertiveness in our elemental makeups? Because we're not having all the elements present at the table making these decisions?
Yes, I think that's part of it. And I think, too, you've got to think about the setting. So it's one thing in business, which is why I love business, there's an expectation of performance.
Mm-hmm.
And when a business leader says something should be done, it's expected to be done, or there are consequences. Now, you put that into a family setting, and that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you're assertive in a family doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
Sure.
You have to have some authority, and you have to have earned some respect and a right at the table,
mm-hmm.
too. You can't just go barging in and say, I want this or I want that.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit more about how Jesus rewarded assertiveness in those that he commissioned.
Well, he answered their requests. If they asked for it, he gave it to
mm-hmm.
them. He didn't debate whether theologically they deserved it or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether someone else was in line first or whatever. It was very much a direct one-on-one relationship, which I think is different from perhaps other religions. You have to go through intermediaries
right,
or you have
right.
to earn a certain status. With Jesus, it was like, you want it, you ask for it.
So the woman that reached out to touch his garment, she knew exactly what she wanted from him, and it was her faith that he recognized and
right.
healed her.
Right.
You know, so trying to get my head around how that might work in a contemporary setting. If somebody's applying for a job or you know, seeking counsel or advice, you know, here's what I want, you know, here's what I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's perceived as a good thing and sometimes it's not perceived. So how do we discern between, as leaders, when to pour on the assertiveness and when to have this this humility stance when it's called for?
Well, I think that it's etiquette. I mean, there's proper etiquette in how you approach different people at different times. Do you have an open door policy where anybody can just pop
mm-hmm.
in? So that probably works for the winds, or winds wouldn't be in an office anyway, so the door would always be open.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'm kind of talking around this as I'm settling in, that it's the culture of your company, the culture of your team. Are they able to ask for things that they need? Do you see yourself as a servant leader who's there to, if someone says, I need a wrench, you know, you get them the wrench, say, well, that's not my job, or you have to wait, or
mm-hmm.
requisition it.
Sure.
You know, that Jesus was very much at the hub of servanthood, and he came not to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're asking for something, it should be in an atmosphere and a culture of service for the higher good. I need this tire fixed so we can get there on time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in corporations and business, things don't always move quickly.
Right.
You know, so you might ask and not get an answer for 90, 100, you know, a year later.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think as a visionary with your work in church growth, you've experienced that personally, where you see the vision so clearly and you state it, and then you get pushback and denials, and
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly people come around, you know, maybe months later,
mm-hmm.
but now they have captured it. So I think as a visionary, we need to understand that just because we see it doesn't mean they see it.
Yeah.
And so there's a patience. Like I gave you that Rumi
mm-hmm.
quote that said, you speak and images appear, walk slowly
mm-hmm.
along this caravan because some of us walking alongside you are lame. You know, that not everybody is going to function at the same speed.
Right. Well, I love this, the content in this chapter, and obviously the word assertiveness as a fire, it resonates, right? Because as fires, we like to get things done. But I also, as I sat with this this week, the word assertiveness, I think, took on some new meaning. To appreciate that other people, other than fires,
mm-hmm.
you know, can get things done. So appreciate that women that women have a voice and a place to lead and to stand from, and that it doesn't have to be we don't have to push our way in, right? But we need to be confidently.
Mm-hmm.
Confident in our ability to complete that task.
Right.
And I think the asking, what you said earlier, the asking of that is huge.
Yes, and I would recommend that people Google women world leaders, because I did the other day. There was
mm-hmm.
an article on it, and I was astounded that, you know, the Prime Minister of India, the leader of Australia, Sweden, there are some major countries that
mm-hmm.
have women leaders. Brazil, Argentina, I think it's Argentina, I don't know, definitely Brazil. It's just amazing how
mm-hmm.
women are. And there was a picture of Hillary Clinton talking to the head of Sweden, you know, two women talking, and it was like, wow, that's power, that's really cool.
Wow.
So, and I would recommend people see the movie Iron Lady, because Margaret Thatcher
mm-hmm.
was being, wondering whether she should
mm-hmm.
lead, and the way a man told her, he said, the way to change this party is to lead it.
Mm.
The way to change a team is to lead it.
Right, right.
Transformation.
Mm.
Assertiveness is transforming.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lori Beth, for this time, for these insights, for writing this material and this content to bring it into this Omega Leader process and unpack it for us and help us to understand it better. So thank you, listeners, for another week with Lori Beth, and we'll be back next week with more insights. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you, Shelley.